Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody stopping the tide. They try to break me, try to pick me up, but I'm gonna change it on my side. So bad I thought it would die. But ain't no one was stronger than the one who came and laid down his life. And I got lost in time. But the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long. So be gon' step in and make it alright. Wanna do it, say you would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
Father God, let your kingdom come. Sovereign Lord, let your will be done. I trust you more than anyone. Your faithfulness like the rising sun. Spirit, come have your way in me. Give me ears to hear, give me eyes to see. Show me who I'm supposed to be. Cause without you I am incomplete. And I find you, I find you, when I seek you with my whole heart. your kingdom come. Sovereign Lord, let your will be done. I trust you more than anyone. Your faithfulness like the rising sun. And I find you, I find you, when I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole heart. And I find you, oh, I find you, when I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I am possibly one of your hosts. I'm not sure if Terrence is going to join us, but I am Tanisha. Thank you for calling in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today is May 12th, 2021 at 7:09 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm so glad that you tuned in and joined me. Again, I'm not sure if my sweetheart's going to join us tonight or not. I'm not sure if Randy said it on the show or not, but Terrence was involved in a car accident on Monday night when he was driving on his way home. And by the grace of God, he walked away. I mean, he's a little banged up, but it was by God's grace that it wasn't a serious accident, because when I saw the video, he had taken a video of it after him and another car were pulled over. It could have been really, really bad. It could have been a very nasty accident. I'll let him tell it if he comes to join us. He's resting right now, getting himself something to grab and making himself something to eat. But he was hit on his driver's side, and then he slammed into a guardrail. And the whole car was totaled out, and the other car passengers were okay too. So that has inspired me for tonight to really talk about God's protection and the protection of God and how we cannot take that for granted. You know, we tend to do things as people, we tend to protect ourselves, you know, in every way possible, you know, from the type of, you know, insurance that we have to protect ourselves in the event of a loss, to even the type of shoes we wear. You know, we're not going to walk around with shoes that are paper thin. We want our feet to be protected. You know, most of us buy shoes for fashion and style, but we also wouldn't even consider buying shoes that were paper thin because we know that our feet wouldn't be protected. You know, we protect our health by taking vitamins, you know, by getting, some people get vaccinations, you know, whatever the case may be. There's all this talk about doing things to protect ourselves. Even in how we have responded to the pandemic, you know, people wearing masks and social distancing, those things are put in place to protect us from catching the virus. But we do things day to day to protect ourselves, to put our seatbelt on to protect ourselves. You know, we might have security systems in our homes to protect our homes. We put our money in the bank to protect our money, so it's FDIC insured. There's all these different protections that we have, but we have to remember that we have the protection of the Lord. And it's something that we probably don't think of on a day-to-day basis because we're so used to all these practical things in the earth that we use to protect ourselves. But we have to know that we are under the protection of the Lord as well. Because again, Terrence's accident wasn't a baby accident. I mean, the car was completely totaled. And when I saw the video, it was very scary. It was raining really bad on Monday night. And so when I had to actually go pick them up, and I was sliding and terrified on the way to get them, and just in prayer, like, Lord, please help me to get there in one piece. And the Dallas PD was nice enough to actually bring him closer to me so I wouldn't have to continue to drive. But I want to read my favorite, one of my favorite psalms that is on protection and the security of the Lord. So I'm going to read Psalm 91. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. I'm going to read the entire psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust with great confidence and on whom I rely. For he will save you from the trap of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you and completely protect you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction, sudden death, that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but danger will not come near you. You will only be a spectator as you will look on with your eyes and witness the divine repayment of the wicked as you watch safely from the shelter of the Most High. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels in regard to you to protect and defend and guard you in all your ways of obedience and service. They will lift you up in their hands so that you do not even strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot, because he set his love on me, therefore I will save him. I will set him securely on high because he knows my name. He confidently trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never abandon him, no, never. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. For a long life I will satisfy him, and I will let him see my salvation. That is, again, Psalms 91, and that is a psalm of protection. And so we have to remember that we have the protection of the Lord. And so I would like to talk about a few times in life that God has protected me, you know, even when I didn't know him. You know, my first remembrance of God's protection was when I was a child. I was probably 10 years old, and my family had went to the beach for the 4th of July, which is common in the city that we're from a beach city. And my sister and I were jumping waves. And for those who don't know what that is, you know, you get in the ocean and there's waves, tidal waves. And when the tidal wave gets near where you're at, you jump, and it produces this roller coaster type sensation. Super fun. But the problem with that is I did not know how to swim. And my sister didn't know how to swim either. So we were pretty close to the shore. We weren't like deep off in the ocean. We were pretty close. So we did that for a while. My sister got bored with it. She wanted to go roller skating or explore. I can't remember what she wanted to do. So she left me alone, which was fine. And so I continued to jump the waves. But I noticed that where I was at, the waves were getting, like, they were getting weak. Because when there's a wave in the ocean, as it gets closer to the shore, it's weaker. It's not as strong. So I started to go out further and further into the ocean so that I could feel the waves a little bit stronger. I'm just jumping. I'm having a good time. Next thing I know, you know, one thing about when you're in the water, you'll get out far and don't even realize it. And next thing I know, I realized I was very far. I was pretty deep off. Like, it was the water probably was at this point to about my chest. And so I'm like, you know what? I've gone too far. Let me start heading back to the shore. And for those who know, when you're in the water, when you're in the ocean, everything's like slow motion. You can't run in the ocean. I mean, you can, but it's going to be slow motion. And so right when I realized, I'm like, whoa, I'm way too far out. Let me get back to the shore. I noticed a wave coming at me that was a really big wave. And based on the size of it and how fast it was going, I knew that wave was going to go over me because the wave was higher than me. And I panicked. And so I turn around and start running back to the shore. And of course, I'm going in slow motion. And then I feel a piece of seaweed at my foot. And I trip on the seaweed. And I go into the water face first. And right when I go into the water, this big giant wave goes over me. So of course, it makes the water level rise up even more. So I go, I'm like deeper into the water. And I'm just panicking. I'm trying to scream, but I'm underwater now. So water's getting in my mouth. I'm just flailing under the water. I can hear like my ears, everything's clogged up because I'm completely underwater. And I can even feel like a sensation of like another wave coming under me. And I'm just going under the water. And I remember as a 10-year-old child thinking, stop fighting, you're going to die. Because as far as I was, I couldn't swim. I knew that I was done for. And so I just let go. And I kept feeling like that, like just let go, let go. So I did. I just let go and just kind of floated there and kind of accepted as a child that I was going to die. And then right at that moment, I felt this giant hand grab the back of my swimsuit, and it felt like we were going 50 miles per hour, like it was going fast. And one moment I was in the middle of the ocean, and the next I was at the shore coughing up water and crying and spitting and all these things. And I look around, I see a lady, and lady kind of comes running to me and asks if I'm okay. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, somebody pulled me out of the water. Who pulled me out of the water? And she's like, nobody pulled you out of the water. You know, she's like, you were in the water and you went under the water and then you were here. So I think she assumed that I had swam there. And I said, no, somebody pulled me to the shore from the water. She's like, no, nobody pulled you. You were just there. You were just at the shore. So where I was located on the beach was pretty far. It wasn't in an area where a lot of people were. It was kind of secluded. I'm looking around because whoever it was, there's no way they would have got away where I couldn't see them. And there was nobody there. There was nobody there. But I know what I felt and I know what happened. You know, like I said, I was done for, and I felt that giant hand quickly pull me from that water, from the middle of the water to the shore. And as a child, I was just completely confused. You know, I was not raised with any faith. I was raised basically agnostic. So my parents were not atheists or anything like that. But I wasn't taught about a specific, you know, I wasn't taught about God and Jesus specifically. But I knew that there was something, you know, something more than something that oversaw some power. I knew there was something. I just didn't know what it was. So I had belief that there was more, but I wasn't specifically raised in the Christian faith or in any faith for that matter. Though I was raised with Christian values, I didn't know there were Christian values at the time, but once I became a believer, I identified it. You know, my dad was really big on doing unto others as you do unto, you know, as you'd want them to do unto you. And we were taught not to lie, steal, cheat, all, you know, the Ten Commandments. You know, we were taught to do right by people. We were taught that you reap what you sow. I knew that phrase even as a child. I didn't know it was biblical. So to be mindful of the things that you did because you reap what you sow. So I was raised with Christian values, just not with a certain belief in Christ or knowing who Jesus was. I'd seen pictures of Jesus. I thought it was a Catholic thing, honestly. I didn't know. So as a child, I did not know what had happened. I didn't know what was going on. But I knew something. I knew something supernatural had occurred. Something saved me, and so that was my first encounter with the protection, really, of God. I had another encounter when I think I was 15, and I decided I was going to. No, no, younger than that. I think I was 14. Yeah, I think I was 14, and I decided I was going to. Late at night, go visit my boyfriend at the time. It's going to go off in the middle of the night. It's probably about 2, maybe 3 in the morning. I'm walking down. We had a plan that I was going to call him when I got down to a payphone. And the payphone was very far from where I lived. So So it was quite a walk. And I'm walking, I see this car pass me. It's late at night. It wasn't back then, it wasn't like it is now, where you go out now at 2 a.m, there's always cars on the street. Back then, people slept. Things died down. So though there might be an occasional car too, it was extremely rare back then for cars to be on the street that late at night or early in the morning, however you want to look at it. So a car had passed me and then it turned around. And the passenger was like, do you need a ride? And I was like, yeah, I'm just going, you know, right down the street to the trolley station because that's where the payphones were. It's like, okay, hop in. So I get in the car. And when I get in the car, it's a big car. So when she asked if I wanted a ride, I couldn't see who was all in the car. I knew it was her and I knew there was a driver. But when I get in the car, there's three other people in the car. It's one of those big cars. Two other people in the car. It was a total of four people. So I'm pushed into the middle, you know, in the middle of the two people who were in the back of the car. So as soon as I get in, I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm like, I felt like something was off. And they start driving, and initially driving the direction that I was supposed to go, and then making a sharp turn and saying, oh, you know, I got to make another stop. And I was terrified. And they were driving to a part that was very secluded, very dark. Where I was living, where we were staying at the time, was like the country part of the city that I was in. So there are people that stayed in that part of town, had horses and that kind of thing. They had larger properties. So it wasn't as populated as some of the other parts of the city. So there was a lot of areas that were, you know, pretty rural that were not, you know, people weren't around. So they're driving deeper and deeper. And I'm just, my alarms are, you know, alarm bells are going off. And I'm like, the guy that was one of the guys that was in the back, he starts doing this really weird laugh. Like just like he's so excited. And I knew then, I'm like, I've made a mistake. And the guy driving's like telling him to shut up. And I'm scared. I'm like, you know, please let me out. I'll just walk. And they're like, no, we're gonna give you a ride. And then the guy, he's just like going into hysterics almost. And I remember, I want to say I prayed. I remember just in my mind saying, please help me. Not to anybody or anything in particular, but just saying that, please help me. Because I knew I was in trouble. And finally the passengers like let her out. And they're like, what? And so all three of them now are arguing. And she's like, just let her out. So they drive back up to kind of the area where they picked me up. And I notice that there's no handles. Like there's no way to open the back door. Like the handles are gone completely. So the two guys in the back push me up to the front of the car and they push me out of the window, out of the passenger window. And now that I think about it, I want to say when they opened the door, they opened it by letting down the window and opening the door from the outside. They didn't open it from the inside. Like all the inside, there was no handle to get out of the car. So they pushed me out the window and they drive off and turn around. So the driver's facing me now. And he says, you're lucky. And he points at me. And just the look in his eye was like pure evil. And they drive off. And so I ended up, I think I ended up still leaving. I was so scared. I was just terrified. Like just, you ever have like the shakes where you're like, you're just shaky? I was so shaky. But I remember a little bit after that happened, watching the news, and there was a string of murders and rapes that were in the area that they took me to. because the street, I still remember one of the names of the streets that we were on. It was a very dark, secluded street. There wasn't a lot of homes, and the homes that were there were very spaced out. And there were reporting that there were murders of young girls on that particular street and rapes. And so I never said anything to anybody. I didn't tell my mom and dad or anything. I didn't even tell my sister until recently. You know, I was so scared that I was going to get in trouble. But I believe that I encountered those people that were responsible for those rapes and murders. It just, the whole thing was just creepy and freaky, especially how, you know, the woman is the one who, you know, said something to me. That made me feel good because there was a woman in the car. And then even how the inside of the car, there was like no handles. There was like no way for a person inside of the car to get out of the car unless they were to open the window and, you know, open the door from the outside. So the whole thing just was very kidnapper looking, like a setup for a kidnapping. And just the way the guy was laughing hysterically in the back seat. And even the other one was just staring at me like I was a steak. It was just the whole thing just very creepy. Even to this day, it creeps me out. And I shudder to think about if there wouldn't have been the change of heart. I really believe my prayer to God, I know, you know, God looked out. That was the protection of God. But I've had so many instances of that as an unbeliever, even as a believer, where God has really stepped in and has protected me from things. Sometimes it's something like that where I know the protection was right away. And sometimes it's later where I'm like, oh my gosh, if I would have done that at that time, you know, I would have been caught up in this, that, and the other, you know. And so I'm just really grateful to God for his protection. You know, Terrence is driving on the way home. I prayed over him, you know, God, help him to get home safely and that kind of thing. And at one point it started raining really bad and I was going to call him to tell him like, hey, pull over, you know, because it's raining really bad. But, you know, I felt like I should not do that. And I really believe, based on Terrence telling me how the accident happened, that Terrence's car stopped the car that hit him from hitting other cars. Because the freeway that Terrence is on, I think there's like four lanes. Terrence is with us now. He's listening in. The freeway has four lanes of traffic. And so Terrence said when he hit the way, because the guy hydroplaned and hit him. And so Terrence's car stopped him from being, basically stopped his car. And I believe if Terrence's car wasn't there, he would have hydroplaned across four lanes of traffic. And this could have, I mean, that could have been deadly. That freeway is known for having lots of accidents. It was wet, it was raining. I really think that God's grace not only protected Terrence and prevented him from sustaining, you know, major injuries, but I believe God used Terrence's car to stop something worse. You know, sometimes we wonder why things happen to us, but we don't realize that what happened to us prevented worse things from happening to somebody else, you know, because we ask to be used, right? That's what we want as believers. We want God to use us. We always pray that, at least we should be, for God to use us. And he's not going to use us how you see fit. He's going to use you how he sees fit. And Terrence, being a willing servant and submitted, he knew his servant would be okay being used. That's what I believe. Because if you're saying, God, use me however you see fit, and he saw, hey, there's going to be a nasty wreck that's going to take out four cars and affect, you know, all these families, and he knows Terrence is a willing servant, I believe that was the grace, that he used Terrence's car to stop something worse, because even the people in the car that hit him were not seriously injured. So we have to really be just praying for God's protection, you know, over our lives, not doing it in a religious way. You know, a lot of times we do that. We do things in a religious way. We don't even realize it. You know, well, people are traveling, say, safe travels, travel mercies, but we're not really putting into that. We're not really believing that. We just kind of just say it, you know, kind of like, when somebody sneezes and you say, God bless you, or bless you, or with the Gazoo tight, or whatever you say. It's just kind of like religious, just kind of what you do. So we need to not be religious with it. When we're traveling and we're out there, we need to really be praying God's protection over our lives and over our children and over the things attached to us, and not in a religious way, and really, really believe it and really mean it, because God is a protector and we can't forget that. You know, it's great to have car insurance. It's great to have these protections, but, you know, the protection of the Lord is the ultimate protection, because he protects you from things that you would never even think about. I mean, we're protected every day from things, and we don't even realize it. Some things we're protected from, we won't know until we're reviewing our life. You know, there's been times where, I remember one time I was going to pick up the smallest of our children. And normally I would take the freeway, take the tolls and get there, because their school is not very close to our home. And I kept feeling in my spirit, take the street. And I was like, if I take the street, I'm going to possibly be late. Like, I'm not going to take the street. It's going to take too long with all those lights. And I just kept feeling it. Take the street. So I did. I don't know why the Lord told me to take the street. But I know that I got to the school. I got there in time. And we got home in one piece. So I don't need to know. You know, God might have protected me. Maybe if I was on the freeway at the time, I might have been in something major, you know, or sustained an injury or lost my life even. I don't know. But I know that I felt it so strong in my spirit, like, take the street. And, you know, at first I'm like thinking it's my own thought. Like, oh, nah, I'm not going to, you know, I'm reasoning with myself. I'm not taking the street. You know how long it's going to take me to get there? I'm going to be late, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I heard it loud, take the street. I knew then it was God speaking to me, take the street. So I'm like, okay. I'm going to take the street. And even by the grace of God, I was catching like all the green lights. Like normally there's so many lights and like you catch one red, you catch them all. And I kept catching the green lights. So I didn't lose a lot of time. And so we need to be mindful too of when God is speaking to us. You know, sometimes you're going to be inconvenienced, you know, but sometimes protection is inconvenient. You know, just be willing to be to listen and be obedient and do what God tells you to do. Do your part, but be praying over yourself, praying over your children, over your family, you know, over the things attached to you in a sincere way. God protect me. You know, like when I prayed over Terrence when he was on his way home, and, you know, unbeknownst to him, I just said a prayer, you know, between myself and the Lord, you know, to protect, you know, Terrence and, you know, help my husband get home safely, you know, because he was in a whole different state. And that's a lot of miles. You know, we don't realize that when we're driving, you know, we take driving for granted. We just, I'm just going to go up the street to the store. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to go to work and all that kind of stuff. When every time you're out there on these roads, you know, that the fact that you're getting where you got to go and getting back home, that's God's grace. That's protection. You know, pray that over your life. Pray that over your family, your friends. Don't take it for granted at all. So what I'm going to do, I want to do a corporate prayer of protection over everybody. And then I'll start taking callers and individually pray. So let's pray corporately. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, thanking you for another day, another moment, another opportunity, Father God, to praise your name and lift it on high, Lord. We just thank you. We thank you, Father God. We're always coming to you and we're always asking, but Lord, right now we just want to take a moment to just thank you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for being a merciful God and a God full of grace. And Lord, we just collectively pray and touch and agree as a body, as your body, Lord, for your divine protection, Father God. Protect our lives, plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our health, Father God, over our children, over our families, Lord Jesus, over the things attached to us, our homes and our vehicles and our bank accounts, over our education and our goals and the things that you have assigned to us, Father God. We just ask that you protect those things that are set aside for us, Lord. We ask that you would protect us in the midst of a changing world and a world that can be uncertain and chaotic, Father God. But let us always find peace in your protection, to know that we are under you and that you love us and that you have assigned us for such a time, that you order our steps. So, Lord, help us to just have trust in you, to trust you and to walk in that trust, and to believe what your word says, to believe that you are our security. We have so many false senses of security. We trust all these things. I'm trusting the chair that I'm sitting in right now without even thinking about it. I trust that I'm going to get paid when I'm supposed to get paid. I trust my bed's going to hold me up. I trust that the stairs that I walk down on a day-to-day basis aren't going to give out. We trust things so easily, Father God, without thinking about it. Help us to trust you in that same manner, to not be hesitant, to not second guess, to not what if, because we don't do that every day in our day-to-day life. We don't, what if the stairs give out? What if my chair gives out? What if my bank account's empty? No. We don't do that. So help us to not be that way with you. Help us to put our full trust in you, to love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and to act on the trust. And help us to remind even others to put their faith and hope in you, so that we can remove all these false senses of security, that we know who our security is and we know where our security comes from. Like the header of Psalm 91 says, security of the one who trusts in the Lord. You are our security. You are the great I am. And you tell us tonight, I am your security. And we thank you for that. And you tell us tonight, I am your protection. And we thank you for it. And Father God, we just love you and we honor you. And let all of this be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm going to take a brief break. See if Terrence wants to say hello. No? Okay. He's not feeling his best right now. And he's on meds. So I'm going to take a very brief break. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to pray over everybody. Who has their hand up? So I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. Thank you for your patience and for holding and waiting. So what I'm going to do like Randy does on Wednesdays. I'm just going to get your name. I'm going to mute you, get your name, and pray over you, because I would like to tend to Terrence. So let me grab my pen. I'm going to get this party started. See what the Lord has to say. I'm excited about that, as always. All right, so first caller here is 754-240. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Tanisha, this is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Hey, Donald and Tanya, how are you?
All right.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going to mute you and pray for you guys.
Okay.
All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just thank you for Donald, Father God, and lift him up to you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for the protection realm. I thank you that he is a protector over his family, Father God. I thank you that you have provided him with the wisdom that's needed to give him sight. I see you, Donald, like God giving you sight and vision for what's to come for your family. And one thing about husbands, you know, husbands are a priest, you know, a priest of your home, and a protector, you know, in more ways than one. And God bless the woman who has a husband who is submitted to God, because then his moves and his steps and his decisions are filtered through Christ, which means that that's like the ultimate protection. You know, a woman doesn't have to be afraid to submit to a man who is submitted to God. And that's what I see God really showing you and teaching you about how as a husband, how the protection realm is. Because you make your decisions. You say, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do for my, you know, what decision do you want for my family, where we live, what type of things we partake in, the people we associate with, all these different things, taking it to the Lord, that offers another layer of protection. And to do that, to pray like that, comes from a place of wisdom. And I see God really filling you with wisdom to where you are a protector of your family. So, Lord, we just thank you for that, Father God. Just pour your wisdom into them, Lord Jesus, and knowledge and understanding about things, and make things that are hidden known to him, hidden things. Let them be known to him. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, we just thank you right now for Tanya, Father God. We thank you for the instincts, the godly instincts, where she just knows things. It's like a mother. Mothers, they say mothers have, mother instincts, to where we just know as women when we have children what to do. Or even sometimes if we don't have children, a woman could be a mother and not have birthed children from her natural body, but still be a mother in a spiritual sense, or to, you know, mother in other realms and other areas. But Lord, we just thank you for the instincts, the godly instincts that she has, where she knows to do things because she's trusting the leading of the Holy Spirit, and she trusts what she knows to be true, and she knows it to be true because you're saying it. It's not like the difference between, like, in the earth realm, where a fact has to be verified by something else, where truth is, because what God says is truth. And I see you, Tanya, operating in that, and just godly instincts, where you'll know things. And people are going to say, well, how did you know that? And you're going to say, because God led me to it. God told me. God revealed it to me. And so how you see facts and facts having to be verified in the world is different than me knowing the truth. They are not the same. And so I operate in truth. So I have now these ways that I operate my instincts, because it's filtered through Christ. And I see you teaching people about that, how to operate in that, in truth, and trusting God, knowing because God said it, that it's true. One thing that Randy said last night, I wrote it down. I'm going to give it to you. This is for you, Tanya. Randy said, prophets don't tell you what God wants to do. They tell you what is going to happen or what God is going to do. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference between what can and what is. And so I see you operating in that and knowing what is going to happen, not just what God wants to do. God came into this earth to save the whole world. So that's what he wants to do. But will the whole world be saved? No, because of the hard-hearted will of man, and because it's a choice. Salvation is a choice. So what God wants is not always the same of what is going to. You know what I'm saying? What God doesn't want any of us to perish. No human. The people perish. And so it's a difference. And so God's going to give you this knowledge of what is. So it's a fact. Operate in that. And people, after the fact, right? Because we say after the fact because now it's a fact, because it can be proven. It's been done. So we call it after the fact. So the fact being that moment, right, that other people can confirm and verify happened. Now it is a fact. So we call it after the fact. So they're going to come after the fact and say, well, how did you know that was going to happen? And you're going to say, because it was the truth before it was a fact. Because God told me. So I operate in my God instincts, because it was already true before it happened. Because again, let me read this again. I'm getting revelation on this. This is good. Prophets don't tell you what God wants to do. They tell you what is going to happen, or what God is going to do. So if it's going to happen, that means that we know what the fact is before it's a recorded fact. And that's how you're going to operate in these God instincts, where God is telling you, and you're going to say, that's just true. So you're going to operate in it. And to people, what are you doing? This is the truth. And then when it becomes a fact, well, how did you know that? Because I operate in truth. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Bless her in that realm, Father God, and use her to teach others how to just trust your truth. To trust your truth, what it really means to walk by faith and not by sight. What that truly means. What that really, how to practically do it. We say it, we get excited about it, but then we don't do it. We're looking for facts. When you are the truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. That was good. Next caller, 251-342. You there?
Latrice.
Hey, Latrice. How are you?
It is well.
Amen. I played your song earlier. Won't he do it?
I did. Yes, ma'am. He said he would.
Okay. Anybody tell you different, you know that's a lie.
Oh, that's a lie.
All right. I'm gonna mute you and pray for you. Lord, we just thank you right now for Latrice. And that's what I'm seeing, that you're really going to operate in that. If anybody tells you different, you know that's a lie. Like where you're going to really identify lies. You're going to see the lies. You're going to sniff the lies out immediately. Because you're going to be like, that don't line up. Like my spirit, that don't line up to my spirit. So that's different than what my spirit is saying. So I know that's a lie because you telling me something different. So that's not the truth. You know, some differences are still line up with the truth, right? Like we read scriptures and we read the different accounts, right? And some accounts have of the same event have a little bit more detail. So it's a little different, and that's different than something totally different where you're like, nah, this ain't the same thing. You trying to give me, I'm looking for orange juice. You trying to give me apple juice. No, they're both beverages. They're both liquid. This is completely different. So that's a lie, what you saying, that this is orange juice. That's apple juice. And you're going to be able to identify, and God is going to use you to sniff out, like when people try it, you know, they try it. Like that example, for example, where you're like, I'm here for some orange juice, and they give you some apple juice and say, well, they're both liquid and they're both beverages. So they try to tell you the similarities to try to prevent you from seeing that, you know, the lies, and try to get you to agree. It's a beverage, right? Yeah, it's a beverage. It's liquid, right? Yeah, it's liquid. Okay, see, so that's what it is. No, because that's made from apples, and orange juice is made from oranges. So yes, they're both liquids and they're both beverages, but they're not made from the same thing, because that's what the enemy tries to do. He lies and tries to show, well, this is like this, try to get you to agree with it. This is like this, right? Yeah. This is like this, right? Yes. Okay. That's just what that is. And a person who's not savvy or doesn't operate in wisdom, that's what that is, because they're both liquid and they're both, you know, beverages. Like, but that's not made from the same thing as that. So just because they're both liquid and beverages don't make them the same. So so God is going to use you to like really expose the trickery of the enemy, where you're going to be able to sniff out lies immediately and even be able to show and highlight where he tries to get people to agree with the lies, the slickness of them, where he thinks he's slick. And that was a good example right there. Try to get you to agree with things that are similar, but it's not the same. Similar is not the same as the same. It's similar, not the same. And that's what he's trying to do during this time. In these times, he's trying to trick people with similarities, with close enough. But it's not. It either is or isn't. And you're going to point out when it isn't. And you'll even be able to identify, yes, you've got this property, this, that, and that. And it's similar, but it's not what that is. So if it's not that, then, and you're trying to call it that, then that's a lie. I don't care how close they are to it. If you're trying to say that something similar is what it's trying to mimic, then that's a lie. I don't care how many similarities they have. So, Lord, we just thank you for that, for giving Latrice the mind to be able to identify the lies right away and to identify the tactics of the enemy and how he tries to get people to how he tries to gain agreement by trying to make it close enough and that almost. And Lord, use Latrice to say, okay, I know that's close, but that's a lie. And calling it what it is, that's a lie. If you're saying that this is that, just because it's close, you're lying. Call it what it is, but don't call it what it's trying to mimic, because then now you're operating in lies. So let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, that's powerful. Wow. Next caller is 832-312.
Oh, good evening, Terrence and Tanisha. This is Elaine in PA.
Hey, Elaine, how are you?
Good.
Awesome. I'm happy to hear your voice. Your voice always brings me joy. Mm-hmm. Such a, you have like a, you know, how if you touch your voice box, how there's, you feel your vibration of your voice. So your voice mm-hmm. is literally, it changes, you know, you're putting it out in the atmosphere. We can't see it, but we can hear it. And then if we put our hand to our throat, we can feel it. So we can feel that it's actually, our voice is actually not just a sound. It's actually like, it's something that's solid because you're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. your voice, it changes things. It brings joy. That's what I'm getting for you. Your voice brings joy. There's things that we won't understand on this side of eternity. We just won't understand it. We'll understand it on the other side. When we start to have that knowledge, God will open us up to knowledge and teach us things. One of the best visions I had before was Jesus. He was sitting down cross-legged, and a lot of people were all surrounding him. And he was teaching how he made flowers. How he made them and why, and like the purpose of them, like all the different components, like how they related to earth and why they had the smell, what all the different people, like very detailed about flowers, why he made flowers. I remember that so vividly. I'm like, wow, because I'm a learner. I like to learn. I'm like, we're going to learn like why everything's here too. Like, you know, we're thinking the flowers are just here, you know, they're pretty, they smell good, you know, bees go in, pollinate, blah, blah. There's a purpose behind it. And every little piece, every detail serves a purpose. You know, that stem's not there just to be there. You know, it doesn't have pollen just to have it. It's all speaking to us. You know, God uses nature and everything he created to speak to us. Everything has a voice, even if we're not hearing it, but our voices mm-hmm. are able to be heard, and they have purpose. Every voice, that everybody's voice is different. Every voice has purpose. And one of the things that your voice is purpose to do, one thing that it does in the atmosphere is it brings joy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing at your voice, like it breaks down things that try to suck and take away joy. Your voice is doing that. It's breaking it down. It's kind of like if you have something in your bathroom, sometimes bathrooms have soap scum and you can spray a product on it and just leave it there and it eats away the soap scum. But now all you gotta do is just rinse it. Now it's all clean, good as new. And that's what I see your voice doing, like with things that are in the atmosphere, even things that we don't see, spiritual things that we can't see with our naked eye that are trying to rob and steal joy. Your voice, it's like spraying it on it to break it down. So sometimes you just talking makes it different. It's just your voice. There's just something that God has placed on your voice. Everything has purpose. We're going to learn so much about our purposes, even more after the fact than when we're here on earth, how God really uniquely made us. We're going to like really see how our bodies were made and even the DNA and all that, you know, going to see like, hey, when you were on earth, you had this type of body that had this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. And we're going to be like amazed, like, whoa, you know, everything has a purpose. Every single thing. not just by chance. It's intentional, just like those flowers. Those flowers are not just some, you know, experiment that just came out of whatever, just not a by chance thing. I distinctly remember, even though that vision was brief, that he was detailed about the how, why, and when, all that about flowers, even like the material. Like if you ever touch petals, they have a feel to them. And some of them are thicker than others. Some of them are thinner, but even the material that they're made out of. I mean, mm-hmm. we just call them flower petals, but it's a material. They're soft mm-hmm. and all of that has purpose by God.
Wow.
All of it. Even the colors that he chose for the flowers, the patterns. Sometimes you look into a rose petal or a flower petal and there's stripes, different things in it. All of that serves a purpose. And we're going to get to learn all that stuff. But tonight he's giving you that wow. your voice has a purpose of breaking up joy suckers. Things that steal people's joy and that rob people and hinder people. Your voice is when you start to talk, when you feel it, know that that's what it's doing. It's changing something. Just like if we were to sit on a machine and we feel that vibration, it's doing something. Anything that's vibrating is doing something. Everything. You know, alarms vibrate, clocks vibrate, everything that vibrates does something. It's something, the vibration is like a proof of something that's being done, proof of an action. And our voice is the same way, which is why the word is very, you know, really speaks to us about the power of our words, because our voices carry power. Our voices are an action. So we're not just talking and just saying things. We're action is happening when we're talking, when we're putting things out in the atmosphere, when we're speaking things out loud. There's an action taking place, not just speech. And vibration is proof of that. Something's taking place. And so just continue to speak and wherever God wants you to speak. He might have you go in the middle of nowhere and just start talking and just speaking things. Over nobody in particular, but just putting it out in the atmosphere, you know, because there's all sorts of principalities and wickedness. We can't see them a lot of, you know, but we can see the effects. You know, sometimes some towns are just, you know, I know of some towns like they can't get their footing.
Yeah.
A full town. But the people can't get it together. And you're like, man, something's going on with this town. This is just bizarre. It's weird. But there's like wickedness. There's principalities over it.
Yes.
But even the people don't know why. They're trying. Even they don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I see God even using you to just go to random towns and just speak over it. To break things. Break strongholds. Break joy suckers and snares and traps that people can't see. They can't even see it. They don't know what's going on. I remember once when I went to Vegas and I'd fallen asleep and I woke up, and it's like when I woke up, I could see in the spiritual realm. And I remember seeing this big demon straddling it, just standing over it.
Whoa.
I was terrified. I didn't even want to go. It's like, and I'm entering in and I see this big giant demon straddling the city. Like one leg over one part, one leg over the other part, straddling the city.
Wow.
And man, I mean, I was a new believer, you know, so I'm just like, what in the world am I seeing? And the Lord said, you're seeing the demon that's assigned to this, you know, that the devil is assigned to this city. I'm like, why am I not seeing the angels assigned? You know what? I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Surely there's angels assigned or something, you know? And he's like, yeah, but I want you to see. I want you to see what happened, what really be going on. And I was just amazed. But, you know, I remember being there, going to church a few times and stuff, and just really praying over the city. Because I'm like, man, these people, you know, they're having a good time. They're putting their money in slot machines. They're going to buffets, shopping and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, do these people even know there's a whole demon straddling the city? Like, I couldn't even enjoy it the way I wanted to, because I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm just watching everybody have fun. And I'm like, man, would you have fun if you knew a demon was like, I was wanting to tell people that, but, you know, I would have probably been thrown in somebody's nut house. But it did make me mindful of cities and things that we don't think about, you know, and so every time I would go, I would pray over the city and pray against that I saw straddling the city. I mean, you thought he owned the place the way he was straddling it. Like he owned it. And I'm like, really? Yeah. No, sir. I mean, at first I was scared. I'm not going to lie. I was terrified. And the Lord had to remind me of who I was, you know, who I am.
Yes.
Like, that demon ain't got no, like, you see how you see him and he's scared? Don't be scared. And I'm like, man, he was huge, though. He's like, so what? You do all things through him. I'm bigger than that demon. You know, but I want you to see what people are facing and dealing with, and they don't know it. Completely unaware, oblivious. It's like these towns where you hear about these towns and there's all these crime and people impoverished and stuff. It's like the whole town can't get it together because there's stuff like that going on. And God's going to use your voice to break those type of things down, to pierce them, to make them crumble, to shatter them, to, you know, where they just can't exist anymore. So just never underestimate the power of your voice, because it does things. You know, Terrence and I always pick up on that in the spiritual realm. We always we even talk about you after we leave. Like, V-Blaine, boy, she always just makes me so happy. We don't know. It's not something that you're trying to do. It's just something that we pick up. That your voice brings.
Yes, you always do.
Brings joy. It really does. And that's because of its purpose. Your voice has a purpose. And that's part of the purpose of your voice. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for Elaine. Lord, we thank you. Use her, Father God, to break down, destroy, to obliviate the demonic things that steal joy, that steal hope, that things that oppress and depress people. When people are just completely under attack, don't even know it. Some people are trying to get footing. They just seem like they can't get a footing. They don't know what's going on. And use your Father God to just obliviate those things, to destroy them. It's one thing to wound. It's one thing to even disable. It's another thing to destroy.
Yeah.
Because when it's destroyed, it's gone for good. So use your Father God to destroy the things that are hindering people from being able to experience true joy, to experience true peace, and to the things that are just hindrances. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I see that there's people who have been disabling things and hindering them, but then they come back. They're still there. But I see God using you to destroy the works of the enemy, to destroy the hindrances. That's different. Wow.
Yes.
That's different to destroy. And your voice is going
Thank
to do
you,
it.
Lord.
Your voice.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, that's powerful.
Wow. Wow. Great revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes.
Well,
that's awesome.
That's what I got for you. You know, and I was muting, but got to keep that one open. So I did. But wow. And I could see, like, I'm seeing, like, these things look like black holes. And I see you speaking in, like, this red coming to like the heart of it, and then the red taking over and just shattering it and destroying it. Like, that's what I was seeing as I was praying for you. Like, that's what I was seeing in the spirit. Like, these, they look like black holes, like little swirly black holes, just sucking the life out of people. And your voice causing it to, it's like the blood of Jesus, like he's speaking it because it's like red, these like red cracks. And then all of a sudden the whole thing is just destroyed. So
wow.
That's what I was, so that's awesome. So yeah,
wow.
If you ever feel the need to just pull over, just start speaking over somebody's home or just speak it into the atmosphere, just do it.
Yes, yes.
You know, just do, you don't know what type of things you're destroying. You know, and because these strongholds and these demons, they think they own the place, like for real. Like I still remember the look on that demon's face that was straddling Las Vegas, like he owns the place. It was so, after
yeah.
I got over that fear, I'm like, really? And
yeah
it made me even more bold because I'm like, you don't own this city.
Yeah.
It's nervous.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Territorial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah.
Traveling the whole city.
So. Mhm. Yeah,
but
I know. I used to.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I used to live for like 20 years in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I first time I went down there, I saw that Sam Houston statue. I was waking up. Someone else was driving, and I saw that big Sam Houston statue
mm-hmm.
just along the highway traveling down there, and I thought that was a demonic spirit. It really
wow.
jarred me awake when, because it's staying so high above the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big one, and they light it up at nighttime, and it was nighttime. And so I know, so I was picturing that as you were mentioning that spirit over in Nevada, that spirit. But that's what I was picturing, how tall and how high that demonic spirit was, territorial spirit. Because that scared me whenever I woke up. You woke up and you see something like that right beside the car.
Right.
It was that's a big statue. But, yeah. But I received this. Thank you so much. I will use my voice more, and I'll be using it with my family because I have some things going on with the family right now, so I know I need to speak some things.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And bless you and Terrence.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Have a good night, Elaine.
You too.
Thank you. Wow, that's powerful. Powerful voice. 828-989.
Hi, this is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
I am good, thank you.
Awesome. All right, I'm going to mute you and pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Jennifer, Father God. We thank you for the gentleness. The gentleness. I see God teaching you about how gentle he really is. And you're going to see him dealing with you and dealing with things that are delicate. Things that are delicate. Just like when we wash clothes. I don't like to wash clothes, but when we wash clothes, there's, you know, we separate them, we sort them, and we have our delicates. And those are washed. Those are treated completely different. You know, if you got like heavy duty work jeans or boots or whatever you're throwing in, throw it in there, whatever, those things are built tough. But you're delicate. You know, you got to wash them separately in different type of water settings. Sometimes people use different detergent for them because you want them to be clean, but you don't want to destroy them because they're what? They're delicate. So we wash them and we treat them differently. And if we don't, we see the effects. If you just throw it in there with your, you know, your work jeans or whatever and your boots, delicates are going to be ruined. And so some things have to be handled different, even though the same action is taking place. You know, you're washing your, you know, mud-soaked Levi's. They need to be washed. You're washing your delicates that are dirty. They need to be washed. So both of these things need to be washed. But just because they both need to be washed doesn't mean that they need to be washed in the same way and handled the same way. Because sometimes, though, these two different things have the same thing that needs to be done, the action to get it clean is different. And that's what I see God teaching you about things that are how he's going to show you his gentle side. Because even when we wash things, delicate things, if we have one of those cool washers that have different settings and all that, when you wash your delicates in it, it's called the gentle cycle. It's gentle. And I see God handling some delicate matters with you very gently. So where somebody else, it might be more heavy duty, so it doesn't have to be handled the same way. With you, he's going to handle it very gently. And you're going to really learn about how all things aren't created equal with people. He's personal. He's personal. Somebody might be able to deal with childhood stuff and God, like, you know, talk to them and go through a process about childhood things. And it's, you know, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, where somebody else might have had some things happen in childhood, some very sensitive matters. And so he's gentle about dealing with those things with them because there's some sensitive things that happened and it's going to require a level of delicacy and gentleness because it's tough for that person. So he's going to show you how he's the gentleness of him. Because God knows what we all need and he doesn't treat us all the exact same. We see it in scripture, how he deals with people and he deals with them all differently. You might be dealing with the same issue. You might be dealing with, you know, disobedience with four different people. And we see him deal with it four different ways because he's going to always do the path that's effective. He doesn't just do things to do things. God knows what we need. He knows what we need. And that's what I see, that you learning, you really learning that and seeing that and experiencing that about his gentleness and that in turn where you're going to, you know, you're going to mimic that. How to be gentle and how to not deal with all things the same with, you know, different people, even though you might be dealing with the same type of thing, that sometimes things do require a delicate cycle, so to speak, to get it clean. Because that's the goal. You want it clean, right? We want people clean. We want to clean them up, have them cleaned up in Christ. And some people can go through the regular rinse. Some people need the gentle cycle. So, Lord, we thank you for that, for Jennifer, Father God. We thank you that she's constantly learning more ways about you and how you do things, how you operate. And it's making her more effective even with people, how to be all things to all people. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 909-757.
Yes, hi. This is Kene from Los Angeles. Hi,
Kene. Hey, Kene, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Terrence is just listening in, recouping. Good to hear you. Haven't talked to you in a little while.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm going to mute you and pray for you. Lord, we just thank you right now for Kene, Father God. We just thank you for the executive. I see you rising to executive levels. Let's see what executive means. We know what it means usually in like a business sense, but I'm seeing that word for like a spiritual executive meaning. Hold on. Executive meaning. Okay. There we go. Okay, executive means of or relating to the execution of the laws and the conduct of public and national affairs. That's one of them. Designed for or relating to execution or carrying into effect, having administrative or managerial responsibility, directing or controlling office of an organization. See, God is telling me this in a spiritual way. Like, you're going to have the, he's making you an executive. So I'm going with the first one, of or relating to the execution of the laws, spiritual laws, and the conduct of public and national affairs. I see God using you, Kane, and as an executive, where you're going to, God is going to use you to execute spiritual laws, and that we're going to see is going to change what we see in the natural. That's what I'm seeing. Like, he's using you as an executive, to where you've seen firsthand how earthly laws work, right? You've seen it, court systems and all that kind of stuff. And God is going to use you and show you as an executive how to apply spiritual laws so that we see changes even in the earthly realm, to where you're going to see change come about. So, Lord, we thank you for Kane. We thank you for that executive, making him an executive to execute spiritual laws and how to operate in spiritual laws, and how we as believers, how even when we pray, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so even going to you, Father God, going to the courts of heaven and letting you render a verdict, and then praying to usher it in, that let it be done on earth as it is in heaven, as you've seen fit in the judgments that you've made in heaven, how we can, what we can do spiritually so that that can manifest in the earth. So we thank you for that, Father God. We thank you for that, that you're teaching him another, there's not one way. There's not one way when it comes to things on the earth. The earth has their systems, but as kingdom citizens, we don't have to submit or yield to the earth systems. When the earth systems fail, we have another way, because we have the spiritual realm that we operate in. And I see you, Kane, learning about that and using that, and God using you to teach others about it. People who have no hope, people who are downtrodden, people who are tired, God is going to use you to give them hope that while that system fails, God's system, God's ways, God's kingdom does not. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Bless him, Father God. Bless his coming and his going. Bless everywhere he steps his foot. Give him favor with people. Let those who serve you and those who do not even see that there's something different and unique and something special about him. Yes. And let him know that the verdict of the righteous judge, you, Father God, has already been rendered in his favor. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 803-991.
Hi, this is Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I mute you and pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Angela. We thank you for the windfall. Yes, we thank you for the windfall. We thank you for the making her a financier, where she's able to finance things. She's the financier, like where she won't have to. I see you as the where you're not a borrower, where you don't have to borrow. Where you are the lender, not the borrower. Like, God is going to use you to finance, like a financier, to be able to finance things, kingdom things. But you're not going to borrow to do it. Where God's going to give you the money and give you what's needed. And I see God using you as like a resource, like where you know how to obtain things. You know, where somebody, let's say somebody comes to you and they're like, I really want to open a daycare, but they don't have a lot of money. And, you know, sometimes even you helping people to get things off the ground, it doesn't have to even be financial, where you could just be a resource to say, hey, you know, this program gives free books and free furniture and this, that, and the other, like really showing people how to get the things that they need for God-inspired businesses and all that kind of stuff. That God using you as a resource is to show people how to get things done, where they don't have to spend money where they could get the things that they need. So some things you're going to just finance, you're going to be the financier, and some things you're going to be like a resource to just show people, direct people where they can go to get the things that they need. So Lord, we just thank you for that, Father God, and just we thank you for that windfall. Let that windfall come to her with ease, no hindrance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Awesome. 251-229.
Yes, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Awesome.
Thank you, Lord, for you.
Thank you. Bless. I'm going to mute you, and I'm going to pray for you. And what I was just saying, bless you. I just started saying bless you, and that's what I see. I see God really just blessing you, blessing you, blessing you, blessing you, blessing you, blessing you. Like, blessing you in every way possible, you know, everything, like where it just cannot be denied. Like, you might just be out somewhere and just, you know, decide you want to buy a new dress or something, for example, and you've got the money to buy the dress, it got in your size, everything's going great, and then you get to the counter and the lady's like, oh, you know what, I got a coupon, you know, 50% off the same dress. And you're like, wow, you know, what a blessing, you know, like just even like stuff like that, like God really just blessing you in all areas, like even when like unexpected. And I see God like really kind of getting a kick out of that. Like, I'm just going to bless her here. I'm just going to bless her there. Where you, like, we're not even looking for her. You know, you have the money for the dress. You like the dress. I got it in your size. You're ready to get the dress and go. No problem. No big deal. But he's like, I'm still going to bless you. I'm going to give you 50% off that dress. You know, I see God just really blessing you in all areas, like blessing, 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 blessing. And you know it's God, and you're saying, you know, this is a blessing by God, you know. And somebody might say, it's not a blessing. Somebody just got 50% off. They had a coupon. No, this is a blessing. I didn't know about the coupon. I was ready to pay full price, and now I've got my money, you know, I've got some money saved. I can go, you know, get a pair of shoes or something now. You know, that's a blessing. And you're going to be able to see and identify and recognize all the blessings. But that's what I see. I see God really just blessing you, and like him really like, it's like God being so excited about it, and like getting a good chuckle out of it. Like, oh, she thinks she's going to do it. I'm about to bless her over here. And, oh, look at her. She's cool with it. I'm about to bless her over there, and just really getting a chuckle, you know, laughing in a, like a jolly, a hearty laugh, because he just loves it. Love seeing how surprised you are, you know, like, oh, she, look at her, she's so, you know, so thankful, look at her, so surprised, like, I got her, you know, I'm a blesser. So that's an awesome. Lord, we just thank you for that. Just continue to bless Sarah, Father God. Give her, I see God giving you peace about, like, decisions, where you make a decision and then you just have peace about it, where you're not like, Should I do that? Like, there's no anxiety. Let her be anxious for nothing, Father God, where she's got peace in her decisions, where you can just make your decision and have peace about the decision and just trust God. That's it. So let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Next caller is 111111. You there, 111? That'd be a device that you're on. Are you there? I can hear something. Thought I heard something. All right, I'm going to close it back up. Let's go here. 682-738.
Hey, Sister Tanisha, Brother Terrence. I just thank the Father for protecting you. I thank him for shielding you and having them angels. God is good. He is good. He's protecting us all day. He get the glory.
Amen.
Yeah,
you're out in this area, so you familiar with it. He was right on the 635. So, he was on the 635. You're familiar with that freyway, right? Because you're out here.
Yes.
So, you know, that could be a dangerous freeway. So, yeah, thank God for that. For that
Amen.
Protection. Thank God for
Amen.
It.
Amen. Celebrate them.
Yes. All right, LaShawn, I'm going to mute you and pray over you. Lord, we just thank you right now for LaShawn, Father God. We thank you for the expanded platform, Father God. We thank you that you are putting her before those in earth, that that are seen as great. Like I see, LaShawn, unexpected people tuning into your platform and into your ministry, like people who in the earth are considered great. They're considered great in the earth. And we know the earth standard is not the same as the world's. I mean, the earth standard is not the same as God's standards. You know, somebody could be seen great because they have a lot of followers. You know, they sell a lot or have a, you know, high net worth or whatever. But I see God expanding your platform and even putting you before what the earth will call great men and them relating to you and telling other people about you and it causing you to be before people with power, people with prestige, and God using you to pray for them and teach them and minister to them, because they're used to certain type of people, you know, coming at them or talking to them a certain way because of who they are, but they're going to relate to you because you're not going to treat them like that. You know, some of the people, you're not even going to know who they are, you know. But there's just going to be something about you that they really relate to because there's just a sincerity that you have, an honesty. You're not trying to put on airs. You're not trying to impress nobody. You just give it to them raw and honest. And they're going to really relate to that because they're so used to being around people who are so fake and phony and people who are trying to woo them and win them over and people are trying to get before them and trying to get in their good graces, trying to get in their circle. They're so used to that. So when they see something authentic, it's going to draw them in. It's going to draw them in. And so you're going to have an audience before, quote, great men. And these earthly great men, some of them are really going to have a conversion and have an encounter with Christ because of your obedience and your ministry. And your platform is expanding. You know, imagine like what I see is like a pastor on a platform, right? And it's a certain size. It's a certain size in the church, but I see you on that, but it expanding. So if a platform is expanding, if it was in a building, right, that means a building has to be very large. And so we know that you don't have walls, you know, your God is using you outside of the walls. Like you don't have to be walled in, so to speak, but I see your platform expanding. So reaching a lot of people. So not something that's walled in, but something without walls, and where you can really reach a lot of people, and that's going to expand and people, you know, from, you know, just your neighborhood people to people who are presidents and all that kind of stuff and have great title CEOs and all that kind of stuff are going to be tuned in and listening into you and inspired by you and touched by your stories and touched by your ministry and really have an encounter with Christ because of your obedience. So Lord, we just thank you for that. Continue to bless LaShawn. Bless her family, Father God. Speak the protection, the comfort of the Lord and her family, Father God, during this time in their lives, Lord Jesus, and help them to come together as one. Let that all be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That's everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. Call back in about 8:45, get into the queue. I think Randy sent a text out earlier that he's going to be having a special teaching tonight, so I know I'm going to be tuned in. And typically on Wednesdays, he prays over everybody, so make sure when you call back in that you hit one so that you're in the queue so that you will be prayed for. So until next time, love all of you guys. We're going to be keeping you all lifted in prayer. Make sure you keep Terrence lifted in prayer for a speedy recovery. That's all I've got. Good night, everybody.